All right. Shalom, everybody. This is Rishon Messianic Bible Club. We'd like to welcome all of our Bible Club members. And we'd also like to say thank you to all of the people who support this ministry. I forget to do that sometimes, and I really do apologize if I seem like it's not important. It is very important, and we've been able to do some really great things in the church because of a lot of great support. I don't really see who sends what in or who does anything. We have Pastor Ben's wife has a master in accounting, so she does that. And but I usually like not to know who gave what, because then when you call me on the phone, I don't treat you any different from anyone else. So it gives me a clear conscience that I treat everyone the same. If I call you back, it's not because, oh, she's a great tither. You know, it's like I call you back because, you know, I'm concerned or I love you. I want to be able to talk to you about an issue. So, but I really am thankful. I have another young man who just moved back to California. I'm trying to see if we can help him get his life together right now. And it's good to be able to have the funds to be able to do that. So praise God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, I really do thank you. And the matter at hand is we have got to get out of here, and this world has got to wake up. The world has got to wake up. Listen to me, you guys. Nobody understands what's going on right now. Everybody thinks that, you know, well, you know, they've been talking about the rapture. The rapture has never been such a scary moment as the moment that we are in right now today. With everything have passed, all the dates, and now coming up on this Pentecost, which is the day, which is the time, which is the moment of the resurrection, is the resurrection is Pentecost. The resurrection is, I'm turning my phone off just in case somebody called me. The resurrection is Pentecost. And we missed it. And Pastor Sandy missed it. And you missed it. But who is this guy here? Jack Langsford. Now, I've had this book a while, and I've read it. Huh?
He came and read and studied the book.
Is
that the guy that gives the book?
Oh, no. This is a different book. This book is called The Pentecostal Rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. And very good book. 20 reasons, okay, for the pre-tribulation rapture. I can give you 30. But there are 20 reasons for pre-tribulation rapture, which, of course, pre-tribulation rapture is so plain and simple. I don't even see how anybody could believe in a rapture that happens after the tribulation. It doesn't make any biblical sense. It doesn't make any harvest sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. But this book, which I have to say, I've read parts of it. I haven't read the whole thing. But I'm interested now because I think we missed it. And this is what I believe we missed. Did I just start without praying? Oh, I prayed for myself. But let me pray for you guys. So let's say a prayer. And my best interest right now is my prayer for that the Lord gave us, which is the prayer he told us how to pray. Because it says, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And this is from Jesus' mouth to us is the greatest prayer, is that we pray that God's name be reverenced and that his kingdom comes.
Yes.
Okay. And so we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And of course, we're going to say it in Hebrew. So, Tilafimiti, or pray with me, and we will get started on today's discussion as we get into the Bible today. Okay. Abanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadeshim Ha Tavome Huteke Yi Ase Rutsanaka Be Aret Ke Ashirne Asabe Shamaim Tenlano Hayom Lechem Hukenu Use Laglanu et Ashmitenu Ke Ashir Solechem Manaknu Le Ashir Ashmilanu Vial Tevienu Le Demasa Keim Hadzilanu Min Hara Kilaha Hamamlaka Vehagivura V'hativ eret le'olamei le'olamim. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for everyone who's listening. We thank you for everyone who's staying awake. I thank you for the boldness. I thank you for your word to me last night after I left here and went home. And I'm telling you right now, if you think you're saying God is to keep barking, God is saying to me, keep barking, time is short. So I hope that you guys are staying in your word. You're staying prayerful over people who don't know Christ, because there's about to be a great awakening. And, you know, my name isn't the Rabbi Rude, but there is about to be a great awakening, because the rapture is going to. And that's what I absolutely love about the rapture. All your denials, all your mocks, all your, you know, you crazy people, all this is going to fall to the ground, because once the rapture happens, you now have to acknowledge that something miraculous has gone on and that the world has now changed. And this is why the Lord said to remember what you already know, because if you forget what you already know, you tend to forget how much reality you've already discussed. You know what I mean? What is our belief based on? Okay, what is your belief based on? Is it we could base our strong belief in Jesus Christ on several things? Okay, I could base it on the miracle of my changed lifestyle. And many people can base it on that. A miracle of a changed lifestyle. An alcoholic who's not an alcoholic. A drug addict who's not a drug addict, but is now an evangelist. A homosexual who doesn't want to be a lesbian anymore, but is now preaching the gospel and has a husband and a child. We have all these millions of testimonies of the miraculous work of Jesus Christ inside of the fleshly body, separating it from sin and bringing it into holiness and righteousness. Yes. Okay? And so that is one of the greatest miracles that I know of. Okay? Now, what is the second? The second miracle, and the reason we believe, is because prophecy keeps proving itself to be right. Yeah. And the next prophecy that's going to hit the world is the rapture. And we cannot be like the world and say, oh, well, I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that there's going to be a rapture. If the Bible has already mentioned it and the Bible has already explained what's going to happen, you had better believe it. Yep. Because a lot of people didn't believe Israel would be back in Israel. Amen. A lot of people didn't believe the Six-Day War would result in Jerusalem being back in the hands of the Jewish people. Amen. A lot of people didn't think that Gaza would be forsaken, even though it was written in Zephaniah. And it was forsaken in 2005. People didn't think that that day would come. And we look at Damascus, and everyone's going, oh, well, Damascus is not destroyed. It's not, maybe it's not completely destroyed, you could say. But did we see ruin and rumbles? Yes. Okay. So now, and then you got pictures, which you can't, if you say nothing's happened, you can always go back and say, look at the pictures. Okay. So we have to understand that history has been happening right in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
I want you to think about the fact that Jesus Christ, this is one of the great prophecies that I believe is in the history of the world. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But in Exodus chapter 4:22, Moses tells the people, listen, he says to Pharaoh, God said to tell you to let my people go. Let my son. He don't call them his people. He says, let my son go. Okay? And I want to read this to you because I'm always trying to prove to people that God is exactly who he said he is, and what's going to happen exactly is what's going to happen. But listen to this. It says, then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Okay?
Where are you reading from?
I'm reading from Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. God says that Israel is my son, my firstborn. Now, when was Israel born? But when they came out and God declared them as his people, and he declared them to be righteous and his very own chosen people, the nation of Israel was born. Now, God says they are my firstborn, and this is my son, okay? Now, why would he say that? Because something is going to happen to this son, okay? Now God has another son, and what does he call Jesus? My first begotten, okay? So now Jesus is the first begotten son of God. Israel is the firstborn son of God. What do they have in common? They both appeared to be dead, okay? One third of the Godhead died on the cross, right? Mm-hmm. One third of the Godhead dies on the cross. One third of the Jewish nation dies in Germany, in Europe. Because when they came back, they said one third of the Jewish population was murdered in Europe. And so both experience a death of one third.
Yes.
But Jesus on the third day, okay, rose from the grave and was standing once again in Israel, yes, walking around.
Yes.
The Jews experienced a third of death, a third of the of death. 6,000 Jews died. Then it stopped in 1945. Do you realize the power that God had to say, this has to stop in 1945? Why? Because I've already prophesied in 1948 they'd be back in the land, and my son has to be dead for 3 days. The other son, Israel. So 1946, 1947, 1948, they're resurrected, they're back in the land, and they're walking around. So you tell me that this God that did that in history, okay, and not only did that, but then prophesied to the entire world that Israel would go to Germany, okay, prophesied that Israel would go to Germany, prophesied that a third would die there, prophesied that in three would be just like Jesus Christ, would resurrect, and then said, even prophesied that Hitler would die in a certain year at a certain time and put it in the book of Esther. This is why we believe the Bible. You understand? It's changed lives, and its biblical history has been fulfilled throughout the whole world consistently.
Yeah.
Okay? Consistently. The 19 years of separation. Here, let's look at this once again, because I want, before we get to this, I want us to know how the Bible is controlling earth, okay? So when I get to 2 Kings chapter 25, you guys should know this, okay? Because I want to get back to what we were talking about last night, and hopefully we'll get a chance to try to finish up the book of Revelation. Verse 25.
Chapter 25.
And I believe it's in verse 8. Yeah, it is in verse 8. And it says, and in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burnt the house of the Lord okay, and the king's house and all the houses around Jerusalem. That is all the houses of the great. And it says, and he burned with fire. And it says, and all the armies of the Chaldeans were with the captains of the guard and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. And listen, as it begins, it says, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's rule. Nebuchadnezzar's rule, in his first year, he took Israel. He took Judah. In the 19th year, he destroyed Jerusalem and burnt down the temple. Okay, so you have to be God to say, okay, Israel's coming back in 1948. 19 years later, Jerusalem has to be rebirthed. Yeah. Because I've already prophesied it in 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8, that they fell 19 years apart and now they must come back into the world 19 years apart. These are the things that God is saying. Remember the things that you already know, because if you don't understand that prophecy is being fulfilled, you won't understand how real this rapture is. And so now the world is on the brink because you've seen the 70th year of Israel. Okay, all of Israel died off with Joseph, but Joseph died in the 71st year. I wonder if that makes any significance. Okay. Joseph died in the 70s. All of them died off, but Joseph died in the 71st year. So I want us to understand something, and I want us to go back and look at something last night that we all missed. Because man can only be as smart as God allows you. And as smart as I think I am sometime, God says, you know, you guys got, why didn't you show me this before? And God goes, it wasn't necessary. Right? What's that military thing? You as
you on a need to know basis.
You on a need to know basis, right? When you need to know, I'll tell you. Okay. So I want us to go back to what we read last night. And I want us to really take a deep look at this. It was in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16.
Deuteronomy 16.
Verse 16. Are you guys out there?
Oh, yeah, 154.
All right. That's good to have 154 people in class. Mm-hmm. Wow. So, in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. Now, listen to this, you guys. I don't know where to start, but you guys are Hebrew students, so I can really start in a lot of places. Listen. We all know, if you're a Hebrew student, you know that the word Bereshit means in the beginning, but the word Reshit means first fruit. But the word say it together means in the beginning. But you take off that bet and it's Reshit, which means first fruit. That means God had already planned a harvest when he said in the beginning, Bereshit. Okay? In the first fruit. Okay? So he had not planted a tree. He had not had a garden. He had not done anything on the earth. He had not had any animals. He had not created man. But the first word he uses is Bereshit, in the first fruit. Because the word Reshit means first fruit. That means God is going to harvest the world. His plan was, I'm going to harvest the world. How do I know? Because you can't have a first fruit unless you've planted at harvest. The first fruit is the first that comes up from the harvest, right?
Amen.
And God planned himself to be the Reshit, the first fruit. And so God dies. He makes a plan for himself to come to the earth. He dies. He goes into the ground, right? Mm-hmm. There are other people in the ground. When Jesus dies, listen to me. When Jesus died, he that ascended also descended into the lower parts of the earth. And if you ever read the Apocrypha and Deuteronomy, many of the saints were always asking the question, how long do we have to be here in paradise? How long do we have to be here? Because when the rich man died, he was in the middle of the earth, but he was in torment. But he could see in paradise, right across in the shaft, he could see the poor man who he had ignored all of his life in the exact same place, sitting with Abraham's bosom. He did not address Lazarus.
Right.
He addressed Abraham. And so he's like, Abraham, tell Lazarus. Why? He's thinking Abraham has the authority. He's our forefather. Yeah. He has the authority. Tell Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue. He says, no one from there can come here. A great gulf has been fixed in the middle. No one. Were they in heaven? No. They were in paradise in the middle of the earth. And so there, Jesus dies and he descends. But now someone, if you have the power, and Jesus said it, he says, no one takes my life. My Father's given me the power to, I lay my life down and I take it up.
Yep.
Okay? Somebody said, God resurrected Jesus. Jesus resurrected Jesus. Jesus is God. He said, I have the power to lay my life down and I have the power to take it up again. So the first fruit out of the ground on the 17th of Nisan was, I'm back, right? So Jesus comes back and he resurrects. But then we get to Matthew chapter 25.
Matthew 25.
Here, let me make sure. We get to Matthew 27. We get to Matthew 27. And after Jesus resurrected, verse 50 through 53, and it says, so Jesus is on the cross. When he had cried again with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost, and beheld, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, or ripped in two from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, you know what I was looking for on May 14th? I was looking for a huge earthquake. I was looking all over the world that day. I said, there's got to be a big earthquake today because there's going to be a resurrection. And every time there's a resurrection, there's a big earthquake. And there was. I think, I don't remember where, but it was a 7.7. So I was like, oh, I was waiting for the midnight call, right? So I said, oh, they've already gone up. We're going to meet them at midnight. I was waiting. Why? Why am I waiting? Because I'm a goofy kid? No, I'm waiting because the reality of the scriptures has told me that God's word controls the earth. It is them who decided in 1947 to meet with everybody, all the leaders of the whole world to meet in the UN to decide that Jerusalem, that Israel would get back the land. And it was God who put it in Psalms chapter 47, the 19th book, the 47th chapter, to commemorate that meeting in 1947 to tell you God is in control of their minds.
Amen.
And they said what? We're giving Israel back to the Jews.
Yes.
God already had written it in Psalms 47. So this is why I'm trying to emphasize to you, you can succumb to the pressure of scoffers and mockers and people who don't listen and haven't learned what God is doing in the earth, or you can stick to your guns and say, I'm still waiting for my Lord to come. So this is what happens. The curtain rents. Of course, God tears the curtain. He says, no more is there separation between man and God, and you don't need a priest to talk to me. He says, you can come in freely now. So he rents the curtain, and then it says, the graves were open. Listen, the graves were open, and many bodies of saints who slept arose. Who are they? Old Testament saints. He says, they came out of the grave after his resurrection. So who went up first? Jesus. After his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. What holy city did they go to?
Jerusalem.
They went to Zion. They went into the heavenly Jerusalem. Okay? And was seen by many. Okay? And so now you have the first harvest of the world happening when? After the 17th of Nisan, during the spring, there was a harvest of souls that came out of the ground and went into the heavens. Now, did God already know that that was the time of the harvest? Of course. This is why we go back and we read Deuteronomy 16, 16. Did I tell us to go there first and didn't read it?
You did.
What a crazy. I'm getting too excited, you guys.
16, 16?
Yes, 16, 16. I really want you guys to listen to me. I mean, the Lord spoke to me last night, and I'm telling you, we had better be ready. You better not come to the scoffers and mockers and, oh, it's never going to happen. Oh, he's been wrong again. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm sticking with the scriptures. Because I know, okay, Lord, if you let me to do this, there's an answer.
Yeah.
See, we missed it, you guys. I missed it, you missed it. We all missed it. And the time to be looking for God has always been the harvest seasons. You know why? This is why. When he comes down on the cloud, the first thing that happens is a resurrection of those who died in Christ.
Yeah.
That's a harvest. When do harvests happen? If you find out when harvests happen, you can find out when the rapture is going to be.
Amen.
Okay? Because the rapture happens after what? The harvest. They get caught up first out of the grave into the heavens. It says, because we will not precede those who have already died. They get resurrected. They get caught up. But when do they get resurrected and caught up? Can God harvest anytime he wants? Can he says, you know what? I know it's the spring, but I'm going to harvest the fruit during the spring. No, he can't. He harvests because he's given you a structure of the harvest seasons. So now if you know when the resurrection seasons are, you can now know when the rapture season is.
Amen. Michael Opie wants to know, who were the many, please?
Huh?
When they resurrected, went into Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, and
Michael, thank you, Michael. Thank you, Michael. You know why? Because it doesn't say, and were seen by many people.
Oh, that's true.
Who were they seen by? Many angels, legions upon legions of angels. They were seen by the heavenly realms. It doesn't say, and they were seen by many people.
Amen.
Okay? Because if they were seen by many people, they would have went to the earthly and were seen by many people. But it says they went into to Zion, they went into the holy city and were seen by many. Many who? Thank you, Michael, for asking that question. Because they weren't seen by many people. They were seen by many angels. And they saw each other and said, finally, we don't have to be in paradise. We can be in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Because the door opener has opened the door. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So let's look at this. 16, verse 16. And it says, three times a year, all males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place he chooses. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we've got to talk about the Feast of Unleavened Bread because everybody has to meet at these three times. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, it happens right after the resurrection. Then you start the celebration of the feast, 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the Feast of Unleavened Bread is in the spring. Okay? Now, let's look at it again. It says, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks. What's the Feast of Weeks? Shavuot. Shavuot means weeks. Pentecost means 50, okay? Only because they counted 50 days from Passover to to Shavuot. So they have the count of the Omer from the Passover. They count the Omer all the way up to the 50th day. So the Greeks called it Pentecost. The Jews call it the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost. And the Jews also call it the harvest season, because now it's time to harvest the wheat. Okay, so now they have to appear at the Feast of Passover in the spring, the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks during the summer, okay? And they also have to meet at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the last feast of the harvest season and the celebration of the harvest, and that's the fruit harvest, okay? So we have three harvests going on here, okay? And God has already told you when the three harvests would happen. So these three harvests represent what? Mankind. Because mankind is going to be harvested out of the earth. How are they going to be harvested? Well, there's going to be two types of resurrection. There's going to be a resurrection of the living and a resurrection of the dead. There'll be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust, okay? So now there's two types of harvests. The first harvest is the resurrection of the living. But there are three harvests because he's showing you here that they have to meet three times. So there's three harvests that's going to make up one harvest, which is the resurrection of life.
Dr. Barry said 50 also means fullness. And then he said that, where are you, Dr. Barry? Fullness of the Gentiles.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Barry. We got students now. You know how long we've waited to have this? I needed something to drink. That was not a commercial. Okay, so understand this. Dr. Barry, listen to me. Michael, listen to me. We missed it. We were running around as Gentile believers, believing in a fall rapture of the church. We were also believing in a tabernacle, a Hanukkah rapture of the church. Okay? But we forgot something. The church is only the second part. Those living that get raptured, the rapture is only the second part of a harvest that is going to take place. And what is that harvest? That harvest is all those who have died in Christ are going to get harvest out of the world. When are they going to get harvest? We can find that out by knowing who's the barley harvest, who's the wheat harvest, and who is the fruit harvest. That's how we find out. The barley harvest are the Old Testament saints. How do we know? Because we go to the book of Ruth. Now watch this. Here it is, the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 23. Talking about, so she kept.
Ruth
2:23. Let me know if I'm going too far along, Pastor Ben. It says, So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz. They're talking about Ruth, okay? So, because Boaz said, hey, look, Ruth, stay here with my girls, okay? Because Boaz is attractive to Ruth,
yeah.
Okay? Listen to the, God is so beautiful in his writing. Boaz is attracted to Ruth, but he can't make the first move. He can only show her love, right? But it's Ruth that goes to Boaz and pulls his tallit over her, asking for marriage. Okay? The same is with us. Jesus can show us love, but he can't ask us to come into our life.
Right.
You know what I mean? We have to, because of his kindness, ask for Jesus Christ into our lives. Okay? He can't ask us for marriage. We have to submit to him and ask him to come into our lives. Okay?
Yeah.
We've got to believe in his kindness. Okay? Ruth believed in his kindness and said, I'm going to marry this man.
Yeah.
Okay?
Question, Pastor.
Yes.
It's from Mike Rubio. I thought it was the way barley was cleaned by throwing it in the air, as in cleaned by the Holy Spirit, and wheat having to hit it as in tribulation.
Is it absolutely wrong? You have it completely backwards. They don't throw barley in the air. They throw the wheat in the air because the wheat and the tares look the same.
Right.
The wheat and the tares look the same, so they have to throw it into the wind. They have the fan. The wind hits it, and because the wheat is heavier, the wheat falls to the ground, and the tares is empty.
Yeah.
So it blows away. So that's how a professional harvester knew which one was the wheat and which one was the tare. Jesus is talking about harvesting a wheat harvest. This is the big lie that has gone out because people have not studied. Me and CJ, who lives in Arkansas, this is another CJ, we called Israel Agricultural Department, and we asked questions every day about the barley, the wheat, and the fruit harvest. And the wheat harvest, when they explain to you how tares and how they separate the wheat. So the wheat harvest is not a tribulation harvest. The tribulation harvest is a fruit harvest, and the scriptures tell you it's a fruit harvest.
Right.
Okay? And because if Israel is a fruit harvest, they don't get raptured till after the tribulation. Okay? And he collects that fruit, which is the vine, the fruit of the vine. Okay? And we'll go to that. Hold up. I'm on fire. Here we go. So now we're understanding that. So here we go. She's gleaning, and it says she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Okay? So the Bible is based on the harvest of the earth, the barley, the wheat, the fruit. Okay? It's always been like that. Here, let me see if we can, because I knew we probably have to do this today. So I said, let me leave this here, because we had one guy came in and he comes with his wife and he kept trying to convince me that the church is the barley harvest. I was like, the barley harvest is the first harvest that's taken up. How can a barley harvest be the church unless we've already been taken up? Then that would make us the barley harvest, because that's the first harvest that's taken. OK, the wheat harvest is the second harvest. OK, so here we go.
Somebody said the barley harvest is the same as the wheat.
No, barley is completely different from wheat. Barley and wheat are not the same. You have to understand this. Barley is barley. Barley is the beans and all this stuff like this. OK, wheat is the grain. OK. So the scripture never talks about them as being the same harvest. It says she stayed with them till the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. That means separate, there's a barley harvest and there's a wheat harvest. They don't harvest the barley and the wheat together. Okay? Otherwise, God would have to resurrect those who died, the Old Testament saints, and the church at the same time. And that's not the way it goes. If we understand this, you'll understand where we missed it. Okay. Here we go. So it says here, Boaz gleaned to the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, two different harvests, and dwelt with the mother-in-law. This bad teaching went out as we were teaching the Hebrew class. This bad teaching of the church being the barley harvest went out. And I said, you know, it's not even worth arguing with, because they haven't really studied and they don't really understand it. So I kind of left it alone. But now the Lord has brought me back to it, because if you don't understand the harvest seasons, you're not going to understand that the resurrections are the harvest season. The earth is being harvested. Okay. Ooh-wee, here we are.
15 minutes.
Let's look at... I like that scripture, but I want to look at another one if I had it. Okay, we'll read this. It's in Micah chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. It says, the harvest of the vine of the grapes and the figs, that the Lord so dearly wants. Woe is me. Okay? What harvest does he really want? He wants the grapes and he wants the figs. Remember, the trees of the earth asked the fig tree, come and rule over us.
Oh, yeah.
And the fig tree, Israel, said, no, we don't have time for you.
Yep.
Then he asked the vine, and then he asked the olives, and he said, come and rule over us. And they said, no. And then finally, because Israel wouldn't do its job, the bramble bush, Satan said, I'll come and I'll rule over the Gentiles. Okay? The grapevine and the figs are the nation of Israel. Okay. It says, woe is me, for I am when they gathered the summer fruit. Okay? I am as when they gathered the summer fruits, as the grapes gleaning of the vintage. Because in the summer, fruit harvest is not ready. Okay? It says, there is no cluster to eat. My soul desires the first ripe fruit, but there's none in the summer. But what will we find in the summer? We will find the wheat harvest. We will find the Pentecost harvest, okay? It says, the faithful men have perished, and we know what that means. It means avad. Faithful men have disappeared from the earth, which is the rapture. So I want us to go back, and then let's read about here we are. Last night we read a little bit of it, and I wanted to
ask you a question.
Yes,
Pastor, do we know for sure what the true Omar count is today?
I wish I could say 100% sure. I have a Hebrew calendar, and they're counting the Omer, and Pentecost is on June 9th and 10th. So the Jews are counting the Omer. They did correct the calendar this year by adding a second Adar to the calendar because they started a month before a new moon the year previous to that.
Yeah.
But they did correct that by adding a month, okay?
Yeah.
But what we do know is that they are counting the Omer right now. The end of the 50th day of the Omer will be June 9th, that evening, and June 10th. So on those 2 days will be Pentecost, okay?
Mark Schwab says 33, Omer 33.
That we're on 33rd day of the count of Omer. Okay, now, listen to this, you guys. This is John talking, okay? He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. Okay, it might say your winnowing fan in your book, because what the winnowing fan is, it is a utensil used for gathering up the wheat. Okay, so, and he says, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. What floor? The threshing floor. This is where they're going to separate the tares from the wheat. And he says, and gather his wheat into the barn. Listen what it's saying here. It says, I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Who? Jesus. It says, he has his winnowing fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge out the floor and gather his what? His wheat into the barn, but he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. So he's telling you that Jesus is waiting with the winnowing fan to gather the wheat harvest into the barn. Because all those who belong to Christ are the wheat harvest. Let's read here. Is this in 13 verse 25? He slept and came and so. Oh, this is when he says, now watch this. This is when he says, but while we were asleep, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the household came and said to him, "Sir, did we not sow good seed?" And he says, "Then where did these tares come from?" Okay, because the tares will grow up with the wheat. Okay, and that's what's happening right now. We have a wheat harvest. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. When you throw us up into the air, right? We have substance.
Yes.
When you throw tares into the air, it has no substance. So the wind blows it away. Go and look at Chuck Missler's study on that. He did an excellent study about how you separate wheat from tares, okay? So understand this, that Jesus is coming for the wheat harvest, to take the wheat into his barn, and then to burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
Yeah.
Wow. So now, when is the second harvest? The first harvest is gone. The first harvest is in heaven. The barley harvest is gone. Listen to me, you guys. The barley harvest is the first harvest of the season. It's gone.
Yeah.
It's already in heaven. It came up out of the ground right after Jesus, the first fruit came out of the ground and went into the kingdom. The barley harvest is gone. We are now waiting on the wheat harvest. The wheat harvest is the church. But who goes first? Those who have died in Christ are finally going to get their resurrected bodies in the kingdom of heaven. Why? I don't know this for sure. But I know that a resurrected body can join in at a feast, mm-hmm. because a resurrected body can eat, because when Jesus was resurrected, he ate. A resurrected body can dance and hug. Mm-hmm. I don't know what a spiritual body can do, but I know that there are people in heaven right now who have spiritual bodies but do not have resurrected bodies, because the harvest season for the wheat has not come, but they look forward to being connected to their resurrected bodies so they can have a body just like Jesus.
Yes.
Okay? At the end of all of the harvest, when he harvests the fruit harvest in the book of Revelation, let's go to Revelation chapter 14. I don't know how much time we have, Pastor Ben.
About 8 minutes.
Yeah, but let's Revelation. Go. Chapter 14. Okay. Hoo-wee. Revelation chapter 14. I think it's verse 14. I'm in my other cool Bible.
Your cool Bible?
Yeah. This is my He's the Real Deal Bible that Hilda gave me. All right. You in Revelation? You in chapter 14? You in verse 14? The title of this is called Reaping the Earth's Harvest. Wow. How are we reaping the earth's harvest in Revelation chapter 14? That's the end of the tribulation. Let's look at what it says. Now I'm sounding like the guy who wore the sweater. Okay. It says, "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man." Wow, Jesus is on a cloud again, having in his hand a golden crown, having on his head a golden crown, and in his head a sharp sickle. He doesn't have a winnowing fan.
Mm.
He has a sharp sickle. You know, if I'm going to cut fruit off a tree, I better have a sickle, because if I use a winnowing fan, I'm going to poke holes in all the fruit. Do you understand? He's making sure you know that this is a fruit harvest, okay? And he says, "And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, 'Thrust in your sickle, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe.' So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle onto the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he also having a sharp sickle." Two types of harvests. Remember, the wheat went one place,
but the tares went another. Mm-hmm. So now an angel comes and he has a sickle. And another angel came from the altar and had the power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him with the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sickle and gather the cluster of the vine, is that grapes, of the earth, for the grapes are fully ripe. Mm. This is a fruit harvest. So the angel thrust in his sickle in the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Mm. So the first fruit was taken up by Jesus. The second fruit is being dealt with by the angels. Wow. Okay? And the wine press was trampled outside the city, and the blood came up to the out of the wine press up to the horse's bridle to 1,600 furlongs. Okay, now, so you're having a grape harvest at the end of the. Guess what now? Jesus is about to come back. It's a simple story. Jesus is about to come back. Why? Because now he has come back for the last harvest of the world. And what's the last harvest of the world? The fruit harvest. In Revelation chapter 20, it says those who died by having their heads chopped off, he said they came back to life to reign and rule with Christ. And then it says this is the first resurrection. Mm-hmm. Is it the first resurrection? Because we know there was a resurrection right after Christ came out of the ground. No, that was the first resurrection. The church is the second resurrection. The tribulation saints is the third resurrection. Three make one. That's just God's math. And then now you have that is the completion of the resurrection of the just.
Yeah.
Not until the end of the 1,000-year millennium will you get the resurrection of the unjust, because they'll stand before the throne and be judged and cast into the lake of fire. And that is the word for today. Okay. So praise God. Now that we know that the harvest season controls the resurrection, and we know that the rapture is, it comes after a resurrection. So God is always said, I'm going to stick with my harvest seasons. I'm not going to resurrect the church unless there is a harvest season. So my question was, well, why didn't we get resurrected in 2017? It was the end of the 6,000th year. He said, look, this was a Jubilee year. Can't harvest during a Jubilee year. We went to 2018. Israel had its 70th birthday. We got to June. It was Pentecost. But guess what? June comes before September, so we're still in a Jubilee year. So still there can be no resurrection, no harvest, because you're in a Jubilee year. This Pentecost is the first eligible time to harvest and be within the rules of God's scripture. So, hey, you call me crazy, call me the dog barking, and I'm trying to tell you, don't you let those crazy people get you away from reality, because our reality is Israel is over there and they've been there for 70 years. That's my reality.
Yes.
Okay? So our reality is based on true prophecy coming true and God speaking a word and it happening. God has spoken the rapture and it's going to happen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.